For this next story, we drop in on an ordinary ball game in an extraordinary place. Seattle NABA is the local branch of the National Adult Baseball Association. When they're not suited up, they're tech workers and bartenders and consultants, at least one retiree. The San Quentin A's, in their green and gold uniforms, are all inmates at San Quentin Prison in California. Recently, the Seattle team got the opportunity to head south and play a series against the A's inside the prison. Along for the ride was Steve Albertson, the director of administration here at KNKX. Two of his brothers play on the Seattle team, and Steve was there to document it.
So the baseball program has been going, I think I was told, for 100 years. So it's been around for a long time. They used to have prison baseball leagues. They would play against army bases nearby. So my understanding is San Quentin is just a very unique prison, and they have a lot of athletic programs. They have baseball, basketball, soccer, flag football, tennis, and there may be some other ones, but they bring in outside teams to play. It's just part of the program for the prisoners. I just assumed it would be very restricted. You know, there'd be a lot of guards around. There wouldn't be a lot of prisoner outsider interaction. I thought it would be kind of like show up, play baseball, don't talk a lot to the other team, and then leave. And that's really what I was kind of expecting. So you go through a little security. They send you in through one iron gate. And then once you're all in that iron gate, they open the other iron gate, and suddenly you're in the prison. There's palm trees, nice gardening. There's the hospital right there when you come in. But then you go down this ramp, and this long ramp, and you take a left, and suddenly you're in the yard. And it's just this gigantic open space in the middle of the prison. And the thing that struck me immediately is there were no guards. There were hundreds of inmates walking around doing stuff, and there were no guards.
It's a beautiful day for baseball. Teams are warming up. They're playing a dual scrimmage.
My name is Liddell Steffi. I'm from Spanaway, Washington. It looks pretty much like a community college or college setting. You have inmates that are walking around with books and class stuff. They have to get to class and stuff like that. And it's up to us to help them get back into society in the future. And that's why I came down.
Inmates just started coming up and talking to us. So it was from the get-go a different experience than I expected.
Tamon Halfin.
How long have you been playing baseball with the A's?
I grew up playing baseball, so I've been playing my whole life, but got incarcerated and, you know, everything just fell off.
What's it like being on this team?
Man, I love it. It literally takes you away from this environment. It's a beautiful thing. I had no idea that this was a thing until I got here. I never heard of it.
Just very strangely welcoming and very gracious and thankful that we were there to a person. I was really astounded how open and friendly people were. It's not what you'd expect of a pretty serious prison with people who have committed pretty serious crimes.
My name is Michael R. Polito.
I started walking up to people and talking to them, and Michael was wearing, he was part of the San Quentin team. He was wearing a San Quentin jersey.
Well, the story starts, I got arrested at 15 years old. Never really played sports out there on the streets. I was given life without parole.
His position as an equipment manager is very important. Equipment's hard to come by. They track it very carefully because obviously a baseball bat and various other things could be used as weapons in the prison.
Just I felt like I could help him out by doing the equipment, and it's fulfilling for me because I never really had a chance to do it since being locked up so young, you know?
Yeah, it just reminded me, like, I have a 15-year-old son, and, you know, for someone to do something, a crime that would just stop their life at that point, and 28 years later, he's still in jail for it. 15-year-olds make mistakes, and they do, especially in this case, may have done something really terrible, but it's just hard to see somebody whose whole life has just been thrown away like that.
Like, the first time I came to this prison, and I seen these guys in these uniforms, I thought they were people from the streets. So I treated them differently, but when they took off their uniforms and put on the blues, I was like, wow. And now that I'm suited up, I actually make the effort every game to come out here and talk to all these guys, because I used to be out there up along the fence wondering what these guys were doing.
Putting on that uniform, it's like no other. Like, you're not in blue no more.
My name is Brandon Terrell.
I remember this specific time last year we were playing the Stompers, which is a professional team. It was a Saturday afternoon. I'm like, there's no other place I'd rather be than right here in this moment. Like, I'm going to get out to my family one day. I'm going to be, you know, free. However, like, in that moment, like, that experience, what I was feeling that I never had before, and it just was like I wasn't in prison. On February 23rd, 2012, I was with a friend of mine. We went out. We had a few drinks. I had actually relapsed. I had been sober for 7 months prior to that. For whatever reason, at the dinner table when we were ordering our food and drinks, I decided to order a couple cocktails. And within hours, I was being arrested for murder of my own friend, Ryan Roth. And what happened was an altercation happened and I ultimately stabbed him. I received 11 years for voluntary manslaughter. And within a week of sitting in that jail cell after, you know, I cleared my mind and realized, you know, that I got a long journey ahead of me and I made a huge mistake and that I can't go back. But I realized there's a purpose out of this, and it's for me to help people down the road get sober, live a sober life, and use my own experience as an example. When these outside teams come in and walk down that hill, you know, the gate shuts behind them. They see the signs, no warning shots. They see the signs, no hostage. I know they had to have some type of feeling, some type of anxiety. Probably they weren't fully comfortable, right? And by the time that first pitch is thrown and we're in that ball game, I want them to understand and get that feeling like they're not in prison, right? Like that we're just men. So here we are. That's something we gotta do every game. Every practice, run these geese off the field. The fact that these people come in here, spend the money, take time away from their family, I couldn't say enough to thank them. That's why I go out there and work on the field as much as I do and to the program in general, because I want the inmates and here in the prison to be able to enjoy this facility and the field. However, I feel I owe it to these people that are traveling from distances away to make our field as nice as we can, you know, and have the best experience.
Yeah, what's up, Mark? I got the lineup right here. Come here. Come here. Okay, it's Bird, Brandon, Max.
The baseball field, it looks like any other baseball field, you know, chain link, background dugouts, everything else. They were dragging the field, the infield, when we got there. They were putting in the bases. It looked like any other day you might go to see a baseball game. The fences are a little bit different. The fences, some of them have, you know, razor wire on top of them. The warning track is actually part of a track that all the inmates use to walk around and to run around. So at any given time, if you're an outfielder going for a ball, you have to kind of watch out for people who are back there. There's also some tables where people sit and watch the game. So it's not like a usual ballpark in that sense.
All right, Mark, let's go throw strikes, babe.
The basketball court is down the third baseline.
Oh, that shot. That's a good shot.
And on two occasions, there was a line drive foul ball that went down there. And one guy was sitting there watching the basketball game. And he just got hit on the fly in the head. And it was remarkable because he hardly flinched. And he didn't even turn around to say anything. He didn't say, like, what the heck? Kept watching the basketball game.
My name's David Steele. I am the manager of the team. I also am president of the Seattle NABA.
So what has the baseball been like since you've been here?
Well, they've been playing great baseball. We've been doing our best mediocre attempt to keep up with them. There's a couple hecklers here, and they actually seem to appreciate it when you heckle them back.
Hey, pitcher! Hey, pitcher, you better put some heat on that if you want to sign.
Some of it was very clever. He's been doing this. We were told he's been doing this for every team that visits. So he's very experienced. He gets to try out his material on different teams.
Hey, you better make it look good, because I overheard that.
And he was a partisan for the San Quentin team, definitely. So he was riding all of our players in a very, very loud and I found pretty funny ways. You know, he was a good heckler.
He's sinking. Going backwards right now, man. He's going out backwards. Hey, don't make it that easy for me, buddy.
He says, all right, I got to leave you alone for a while. I got to go to the chiropractor. And he just kept going and going. I looked at him. I said, I thought you were going to the chiropractor because I'm just having too much fun. And finally, he left. But it was actually almost too quiet when he left.
Hey, no, that's not how you do it. Oh, boy. Hey,
these guys are really nice guys. And everybody understands that they...
Sorry, I hate to interrupt. We're going to have Nicole bat. It's the first time a woman has ever batted here.
So Nicole came down. She's the girlfriend of one of the Seattle players, and she came down. And talking to her experience, she had a great experience. I was actually kind of concerned. You know, what is it like to put a woman suddenly in the midst of thousands of prisoners who probably haven't been around a woman in a long time, male prisoners? But she said she was treated with great respect. She didn't feel like anybody was harassing her in any way. She felt very comfortable right away.
I mean, you think you're coming into a maximum security prison, right? So you're going to around a bunch of criminals, right? Are they going to be intimidating? Are they going to be rude? Are they going to try to scare you? And they haven't at all. You can tell that they want us here.
So you had a very special time today. So tell us what happened.
Yeah, so... I was asked to do the honorary first at-bat for our team, and come to find out, I'm the first female to actually have an at-bat here at the prison. And even though I got out, I almost made it to first base, and then I did actually break the bat, so first person to break the bat in the series as well. So I get a souvenir out of the deal.
People outside coming into prison think that we're all bad and we're all evil. And I try to convey to them that, look, we made mistakes. You know, we got caught, and right now we're serving our time for it. You know, and so to me personally, I hope that they take the word, the message out there that we're, you know, we're human beings also.
You know, I know the people who get to San Quentin, they're serious criminals. They've done things. They've been convicted of serious crimes. And I was just really astounded at how friendly, compassionate, interested people were. You know, I'm not letting anybody off the hook for crimes they committed, because I know there are victims behind all these crimes, you know, very serious crimes. But I was just astounded at how appreciative they were, how respectful they were of me and the team for coming down to be with them. And when I came out, I kind of felt it was like one of the most important days of my life. Sorry. It's hard to explain. You know, it was just baseball, but... I think just being around so many people who had made terrible mistakes, and, you know, some of them, if they were out today, they may make the same mistakes, but it really talked to me about the potential all these people had and maybe still have, and what a waste it has been. Sorry. I just met people who had things gone better in their lives, would have different lives now. I talked to people who I really thought had kind of leadership potential and could have been out doing really productive things, but for bad choices or bad situations they got themselves into. And so I was really saddened by the loss of that potential for those lives. And I think that's what's really going to stick with me.
Steve Albertson is Director of Administration here at KNKX. Steve did much of the recording for that story, but we also had help from another person. Erlon Woods is an inmate at San Quentin and also the host of the award-winning podcast Ear Hustle about life on the inside. He did several of the interviews for us.
What's an example of a time when baseball has been important to you?
That's him talking with Brendan Riddle Terrell. Erlon has been in prison for 21 years on a 31-year sentence for attempted armed robbery. Well, now it's time for an update. Just before Thanksgiving, Erlon got word that Governor Jerry Brown of California had commuted Erlon's sentence and ordered that he be released from prison as soon as possible. Here's Erlon talking about it on his podcast with collaborator Nigel Poor.
Time to walk out that gate. They call you, they take you to the captain porch. Mm-hmm. They told me, they was like, Governor Brown feels you should be released. Just like that.
What was it like to hear that?
It's out of body. It's like, no. So when they're saying that, I'm thinking about my mama. Mm. You know,
Yeah.
I'm thinking about my mama. She's up there. She's 70. She probably praised the Lord a million times, you know? I mean, it was like, and the associate warden that was in there, he was like, man, you know, this is the first time I'm witnessing one of these commutations. You know, he said, I feel happy for you.
Earlonne Woods will be paroled to Oakland, where he plans to continue working on the podcast. We're so grateful to Earlonne for his help on this story, and we congratulate him on his freedom.